And we're also asking the legislature to do whatever it decides to settle that conversation for just a year later. Don't go away for the House and the Senate.
Report.
Yeah.
John, did it?
I heard it on the office.
Pretty good.
That's it.
We're gonna take Thursday. Should be hard to make down.
You do that, though, you're gonna have to transcribe it yourself.
I have something on my job.
Yeah, sorry, we took the table at the snack table.
That's cool.
You can help yourself.
You sit over here for one.
You sit over there.
Well, I'll park you two sets. Just don't touch anything.
All right. Sorry. Thanks.
Here's the one right behind you, I think, unless it's down on the front here on the front side. If there is a one there, one, you know, right there.
Okay, I want to call it 7 o'clock, and we'll go ahead and get started. And thanks everybody for coming this evening. Just a couple of items in the beginning. If you've got a cell phone, if you'd put it on vibrate for me, I'd appreciate that. And if anybody needs a restroom, they're just out the door to your right. And just so there's no misunderstanding or confusion this evening, the Board of Supervisors will take no action on this ordinance this evening. This meeting tonight and then the one Thursday night is strictly to take input from citizens that have anything that they would like to offer. There'll be no discussion or deliberation by the board on this ordinance this evening. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started. I don't know if, Denise, if you want to give just a little background on this, maybe if you could come up to the desk, if you would, please, and just introduce yourself. Your green light on your microphone. Okay.
My name is Denise Denton. I work as a prevention specialist with Youth and Shelter Services, and I am also a member of the Prevention Policy Board. And approximately 2 years ago, the Prevention Policy Board was presented with an ordinance that was originally proposed and passed in Linn County. And that ordinance proposed that all nicotine products in Linn County be treated as tobacco products in that they be behind the counter, that they be unavailable to persons under the age of 18, that the people who sold them would need to have a tobacco permit as other retailers would, and that people would have to be carded, and that was the gist of their ordinance. The Prevention Policy Board thought that that made a good deal of sense and decided that they also wanted to do a similar ordinance here in Story County. They provided that ordinance to Steve Holmes, and the county attorney's office looked at that to make sure that the verbiage would be enforceable. And the Story County Prevention Policy Board then took it to the Board of Health, who supported it and partnered with the Prevention Policy Board to bring it to the Board of Supervisors, which we did in January. It got through the first reading, and then we decided that it probably needed additional language that would strengthen the ordinance, and that is basically where we are now.
Okay. And at that time, the board committed to do at least two public input meetings sometime in late March or April, and that is the purpose of our meeting here this evening. And just if you don't have a copy of the ordinance, there's some over here on this table, but it's pretty simple. It simply reads, be it enacted by the Board of Supervisors of Story County, Iowa, that the Story County Ordinance prohibiting the sale of nicotine delivery systems and unregulated products containing nicotine without a retail cigarette or tobacco permits, products permit, restricting public access to such products and prohibiting the sale of nicotine delivery systems and unregulated products containing nicotine to minors is hereby enacted and set out in full hereafter. So that's pretty much the ordinance. It goes through in the two back pages, the third and fourth page, talk a little bit about definitions and enforcement. There was some concern about the language in the original ordinance about display of those products. That language has been taken out of this ordinance. And so basically this ordinance would treat those systems no different than regular tobacco products. So this would be the time, if anybody has any input they would like to make, you can come up here and sit down, or you can come up to this mic and let the board know how you feel about this. Don't be shy.
Paul, since Stephen wrote it, and I sure don't mean to interrupt, I'd sure like to have Stephen visit with us a little about this at some point.
Flip it on.
My name's Tom Watson. I just have a question about the retail cigarette or tobacco products permit. Electronic cigarettes do not contain any tobacco product. Why do we need a tobacco permit?
Because I think it's the gist of this ordinance that these be treated like tobacco products. And in order to sell these nicotine delivery systems, according to the ordinance, you would need a permit, a retail sales permit for tobacco. And I don't know if Stephen Holmes, the county attorney, or the assistant Jessica Reynolds would like to speak to that at all. Or
but that's just one of the big arguments in the. E-cigarette world that there's
right.
No tobacco products.
Right. I think it's probably nicotine is where the thought process.
Even have e-cigs with no nicotine.
Exactly.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can sit down if you'd rather, Stephen.
I was going to say. I'm trying to get this thing up a little bit higher.
Well, I had it set for me when I first put it up, and I was told it was a little too high.
So. There. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. I think for the audience, it's important to understand that the question that was asked just a moment ago, I think, is central to the ordinance. The concern is nicotine. Nicotine is the concern in cigarette products. In addition, there are other health concerns, of course.
Say there's about 2,000 other carcinogens in
cigarettes
that are not present.
Correct. But because nicotine at this juncture is not a product that has been regulated or has been defined by the federal government in its regulatory procedures yet, and is still in an investigative or exploratory phase, the concern is the amounts of nicotine, and I think that are you going to be selling these types of products?
We already do.
You already do. Well, as I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the various nicotine products that are on the market today vary, do they not, in the amount of nicotine that they contain?
Yes.
And can you give me an idea of how the nicotine in these various products is quantified or qualified?
It's in parts per...
Stephen, he's going to need to come up here to the
mic. He's going to have to come back. Well, perhaps I can get him back. But my point being that at this juncture, we don't know. We don't know about nicotine. And I think the concern that has been expressed and the purpose of the ordinance, of course, is to regulate or prohibit nicotine products for minors.
Yeah.
So, again, we understand for an adult coming into the store is going to be treated just the same as any other tobacco product. And so if you're a retailer and you're going to be selling these products, of course, you're going to have to treat the public in the same sense as you would if you were selling a cigarette. So you're going to have to make sure that the idea of the person is that they're not a minor. And in this particular effort, one of the problems that I think came up early on was whether or not this engendered any other consideration above and beyond tobacco products. And I think that was probably part of the original confusion in terms of what we were trying to devise. But now we've settled upon an equal status with other tobacco products. And I have been looking at the definition of nicotine delivery system followed by the definition of unregulated products containing nicotine. And I do know that there are other products that are being marketed that don't necessarily or may become somewhat or blur the line between the definitions that we have about an oral device. And I've had these conversations with McDenton, and I'm still looking at it. I almost purchased a device before coming here tonight that is sort of a water pipe affair. And just from the standpoint of inclusion, I wanted to be sure that when we drew the language for this for the final time, that everything was going to be incorporated. And there has been some effort on behalf of the legislature this year, but that has stalled. And because that has stalled, I think that our efforts here, as they have done in the past, have merit. You all are familiar with the efforts that were mounted concerning keg alcohol. And after Story County was one of the first counties to enact a local ordinance, then that seemed to usher in greater interest across the state. And then our ordinance became moot and the state law took over. And that may happen in this particular instance as well. But at least for now, this modified version as it sits, like I said, I have a little concern in the language, and I'll read it down to you. Nicotine delivery system, in quotes, means any oral device, comma, such as one composed of a heating element, comma, battery, comma, cartridge, and/or electronic circuit, comma, which provides a vapor of nicotine or any other substances, comma, and the use or inhalation of which stimulates smoking, period. The term shall include any such device, comma, whether manufactured, distributed, marketed, or sold as an e-cigarette, comma, e-cigar, comma, e-pipe, comma, or under any other product name or descriptor, comma, and shall include any component parts of such devices, period. Now, you may think that that's very complete, but, of course, as I continue to review this language, I have a little bit of concern about perhaps making this a little bit too narrow. And my concern is that the original definition, going back to means any oral device, comma, such as one composed of a heating element, comma, which stimulates inhalation, which which simulates smoking. And then the term shall include any such device. I have some trepidation about that, and I don't know, and I was hoping perhaps in these discussions that it might be elucidated, and I've also been asking for some of the language and some of the last attempts in the legislature, because I wanted to take a look at it, because it's been told to me that there has been some change in the language of one of the last attempts down there, and I just haven't received it yet. So my concern is I want to be sure that our definition of what we're attempting to regulate is complete, and that it doesn't make for an exception that I think will lead to further problems. And by that I mean, I don't think that we can permit an electronic device of any kind, an electronic cigarette, for the lack of a better term, that is lawful for a minor. If we do, then in my opinion, that will undermine any reasonable suspicion or probable cause on behalf of law enforcement. And my example would be, if a law enforcement officer is driving down the street and he sees a group of obviously underage persons, the law enforcement officer, if the law enforcement officer sees an e-cigarette in one of their possession, if any electronic device is permissible for a juvenile and is not excluded by this ordinance, then that officer would not be able to spin around and come back and approach those underage persons. And if that happens, then I think the entire intended purpose of the ordinance will be defeated.
Stephen, I agree with you, and I think it's a great catch by you. Is it as simple as doing away with the term nicotine delivery system and making it something like simulated smoking system?
That's one of the options that I've been looking at.
Because then you go on to say it may include nicotine.
Yes.
So it looks to me like we're good in the language that you put forth here. It's just setting out the definition as being a nicotine delivery system may be problematic.
Yes, correct. And that's what I'd very much like to be satisfied with in my own thinking before I recommend it to you.
I've had a couple of questions on the time frame. If we get this ordinance, or you get this ordinance written in a fashion that you're comfortable with, and you were to bring it back to the Board of Supervisors, it's at least a 2-week, if not a 3-week process to read to complete the 3 readings of the ordinance. And once that third reading is, if that third reading is approved, then does that ordinance go into effect immediately, or is there a date set?
Well, it depends on how we word that in the ordinance.
Okay.
We certainly can do that.
Okay.
We could specify that in the ordinance.
But just under normal...
Yeah, it has to be published.
Correct. But there's no reason to think that this process couldn't start here in the next couple of weeks. Again, the public hearing process. The ordinance that we're going to be presented with is different than the original ordinance that we were presented with, so we would start the public hearing process over again and have to approve it on first and second.
Right, I'm not miles away from figuring out exactly how I want this worded.
Okay, so this isn't something that's down the road indefinitely. This will be something here in the next few weeks.
No, yes.
Okay.
Stephen, a question, if you would, in your legal opinion, where does this belong? I mean, it seems to me that when we went through first reading, passed it on first reading, then we had some questions come back about what exactly we had passed on first reading, and so we slowed down at that point, and I think rightly slowed down. But as I recall, part of that conversation was, well, now we know the state's dealing with it. I think Senator Kornbach had introduced one, and I think somebody else on the House side introduced another. And I think at that point, at least I came away feeling like there was agreement that this really belonged at the state level. And if the state did not take sufficient action, in our opinion, then we'd come back as a county and take action. The other part to that is, okay, if it doesn't reside at the state, is it more appropriate for it to reside at the county or at the municipal level? Because while Story County did the keg ordinance, as I recall, the city of Ames was one of the first to do no smoking in public restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you is, as you think this through, where does something like this belong?
Well, because products such as this are involved in interstate commerce, I would hope that the state of Iowa would take steps in that regard. That makes more uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
And however, we all understand the dynamics of such an effort. But getting back to, I'm always one in favor of local control. I also am a great proponent of local control. And I think that allowing individual communities to make decisions about their concerns for health and safety are always valid. However, again, when you're talking about products that are being merchandised on a national or perhaps international level and involve perhaps questions that are beyond our ability to make informed decisions about concerning the health and mm-hmm. The amount or the damage or the effects of prolonged use of nicotine in quantities that are, as I understand, many, many times that which an individual would ingest by the smoking of a cigarette or a pack of cigarettes. And I'm not talking about the other problems with cigarettes. But those to me, then flip me back around and say, it would be better. It would be better to have the guidance of the FDA, and it would be better to have a uniformity because these products are merchandised. There are large merchandisers who span all of the 99 counties. Certainly there are problems for larger retailers, not individual retailers, but there are certain problems for larger retailers who are going to attempt to sell these products. And I think going from county to county to county could be of consternation to them. And whether that's unfair in these kinds of situations, again, those are decisions for you fellas. I just advise. But those are the thoughts that I have about it, if that helps.
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
But is it possible that we could have by Thursday's public our input session, what has been debated and talked about at the state level, both in the House and Senate, so that I could have some clear understanding as to what is the potential areas of maybe conflict or disagreement or what is maybe troubling some of the lawmakers, because the more educated we are on the issue, I think the better we're able to make a rational, intelligent decision. However, I think the point that I don't want to see lost here is that while I'm strongly in favor of a consistent, uniform state adoption that would impact all the various retailers that would be selling the product, the overriding principle for me still is do everything we possibly can to restrict minors from access. And if local businesses, whether it be the big retail or individual small groups, were taking the necessary steps to do that, then I think that the purpose that we are trying to put forth, or the Policy Prevention Board and the Board of Health is trying to put forth, is to make sure that these type of nicotine products would not be available to minors. And from that's the driving dilemma that I'm faced with throughout this whole process. And I don't think that in any way am I trying to say an adult of legal age that I'm trying to tell them what they can and cannot do. But I also know that I have several grandchildren under the age, and I don't want anything made really easy and accessible to them when it could be reduced by prudent business owners taking steps to make sure that they have some way of determining their legal age. And so that's what I'm hoping for, is that we can get some, I'd like to have some idea of what's happening at the state level. I'm sure I can pull something up between now and Thursday's meeting, but it would be very helpful for me to hear, to know what they're talking about there.
Well, how about for Thursday? I'll just plan on presenting sort of a synopsis of what I know has taken place at the state level, and try and contrast what has been presented, so that it gives you hopefully what you're looking for. Would that be all right?
Right. Right.
Sure. Anyone else? Yeah. You have questions for me, or would you like to come up? Come on up. Well, come on.
Oh yes, please come on.
Microphone, if you would, please.
Hi, my name is Jay Brown. I'm a physician at McFarland Clinic, and I deal with lung disease. And I wanted to lend my support. I think on behalf of our medical community, although I come here only speaking for myself, I suppose, in opposition to the notion that kids could get access to these products. I think the fact is I scarcely come across people who started smoking when they were adults. It's almost unheard of for somebody at the age of 25 even to say, yeah, I started smoking at 25. Or somebody who I see is a 30 or 40-year-old. Nobody starts these products when they're of majority, as a rule. I should say nobody, but it's single-digit percentages is what the statistics would have us believe. The tobacco companies, back in the 70s, they created Joe Camel, the cartoon character that I venture to guess you guys, I think we're probably contemporaries age-wise, remember. That cartoon character was designed with a focus group of five-year-olds. This is an industry that's very, very clever at getting into our children's heads and promoting their poisonous products. I should confess that I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Not only have I watched countless patients over the years die of these products, but killed my father and my grandfather, and for nothing. These products don't taste particularly good. If you ask, I'm a former smoker myself, so I don't mean to be speaking for moral high ground here, but there's really nothing redeemable about them as far as I can tell. So I would urge you to use Story County as a laboratory if necessary to create a template, perhaps, that can be adopted on a larger level. But making an effort here in our little community to restrict the access of these products to youngsters ultimately will, I think, lead to a healthier populace. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Anybody else?
Not quite as tall as Doc Brown.
That's okay.
Hello, my name is Will Frankie, and I represent the Mayor's Youth Committee at Ames High School. And I'm here to say that we, as a Mayor's Youth Group, we wholeheartedly support any ordinance that limits and restricts the accessibility and availability of any sort of nicotine product, be it a cigarette, e-cigar, whatever. I believe he uses simulated smoking product. It's a good term for it. And we are wholeheartedly against any sort of act or ordinance which promotes the accessibility or availability of that, and such. We are totally in favor of this ordinance. Thank you.
Will, do you see much of this among your peers?
I don't see among the people I associate with, my friends, I don't see much of it, though, mind you, I do see when I go out to lunch occasionally, I will see people smoking outside the railroad tracks in a small huddled group. I'm assuming it's a cigarette, honestly. I don't think much of it, but yes, I do see it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Jan Barron. I'm also on the Prevention Policy Board of Story County, and a major purpose of our coalition is to reduce youth drug and alcohol and tobacco use. And maybe you saw the recent article that showed that Story County is the lowest in terms of smokers, and I think the earlier smoking ordinance had something to do with that. And I recently saw an article in Time magazine that reported some research regarding adolescents who use e-cigarettes. I think we all have read and heard that e-cigarettes are touted as a way to reduce smoking. Let me just read a paragraph from this. This was in, well, the April 7th Time magazine. Another recent study found that adolescents who use e-cigs are more likely to smoke cigarettes as well. The study couldn't confirm whether the e-cigs were a gateway drug or if the kids would have found their way to tobacco anyway, but the e-cigarettes were clearly not a deterrent. And there have been other news reports to that effect, too. And we know that health costs are reduced when people don't start smoking, start a lifelong habit. So we are happy to anticipate your support. And thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Sure.
All right. My name is Priscilla Rebelozo, and I am an Iowa State student. And I'm in Human Development and Family Studies. And in some of my classes, we talk about the use of some of these products. And I mean, I would support the passing of this ordinance just because I work with youth, and I notice that some of them talk about their experiences with some of these products. And, I mean, I wholeheartedly disagree with the way they use them and how they're accessible to them. So, you know, I would pass. I mean, I would totally support the passing of this ordinance.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Evening, folks. My name is Tim Garten, and I'm here tonight. I'm a member of the Ames City Council. And I appreciate all the comments that were made and the work that's been done to draft this. I happen to think this is a very good idea. But I'm not sure that I am in agreement that it should be done on a county level. If you look at the kinds of things that the county regulates, there are certain general areas. And for the county to move into an area of regulating commerce in our municipalities like this is going to be an interesting move. And it sets a precedent. And you can see just in the challenges that Steve and Jessica have, and they've worked very hard on this, obviously. This is difficult, getting the wording right, and you want to do this right. But if you're having this kind of challenge here and the legislature's having this kind of challenge, I think that sort of indicates that there's a reason why this is probably going to be best done on the state level. My hope is that the state will step up and will pass an ordinance that will do all the things that this is trying to do. I think if we end up with a situation where we have a patchwork of results, I'm not sure that's going to be in the best interest of the state. I think we need to pressure our legislators to do the right thing. And so, for example, let's say we put this in place on the county level. Someone comes along a year later and says, you know what, New York City really has a good idea with limitation on the size of sodas. And really, we have an epidemic of youth obesity. Wouldn't it make sense to do this, something like that on a county-wide basis? Well, you've done some work with e-cigarettes, trying to protect youth health. It's a very good goal. Could we do something like that? And the reality is, now you've set a precedent. And it's a lot easier in some ways to work through that process with three people here and have it apply to the entire county than to go on a municipality-by-municipality basis. The city of Ames has had a chance to work on some cigarette ordinances that have been really sort of groundbreaking in the state. I think that we have the potential, if the state drops the ball on this, I think that there'll be some strong willingness to take a look at this. But that'd be my suggestion. I'm not speaking for the council. I don't have any kind of mandate on that. I just want you to go slowly on this and ask yourself the question, aside from the fact I think we're probably fairly uniform, this is a good idea. The only question on my mind is, going back to Rick's point, is this really the right forum for that? And understanding this is going to set a precedent for the way in which other issues, very well intentioned, are going to be processed. And just as a little background, counties and cities are both home rule type of government structures. And so the county definitely has the authority to put an ordinance like this in place. If there's a conflict between what a county does and what a city does, the city's ordinance is going to trump the county ordinance. But there's certainly no question in my mind, looking at, I think it's Section 39A, I think is the, right on that, 39A of the Iowa Constitution, dealing with home rule. I don't have any question whether the county has the authority to do what you're considering doing. It's just a question of, is that the wisest move to make, and is that a precedent you want to take? I think there's going to be a lot of other issues coming along that would be more like this than what you've taken on in the past. So thanks for your consideration of that.
Tim, if I may just make a comment, I don't disagree with anything you've said. However, I would point out to you that that is one of the unique things about city and county government, is that if you go through the process like we're going through now, which is a public input session, hearing from all constituents, pro or con, you know, either for or against, and trying to make a decision, that means that municipalities and leaderships like you also have opportunities to weigh in. And then ultimately, when a decision is made, then we fall back to the legal jurisdiction, just like we did with the keg ordinance, that if the city wants to have its own ordinance, either similar to or above or different, they have that authority to basically do so. But I do think the process is the important part, is to bring all the different groups together to see if there is any commonality. I agree that I would prefer this to be mandated from the state. However, if the state chooses not to do it, my background and experience as a local educator, teacher, and coach, and my concern for restricting access to youth, as an elected official, I'm going to stand behind what I believe is ultimately going to protect the safety and well-being and the health of youth. And there's going to be those who are going to agree with me, and there's going to be those who will disagree with me. But I do think what's important here is that we have open dialogue with everyone. And if there are differences of opinion, if there are things that cities, municipalities question the enforcement aspect of this, they would have an opportunity to weigh in with us through our legal counsel and so forth. But I think the end result of that would be is not knowing whether this would pass or not, at least everybody will have had an opportunity to vet this issue, and then the citizens would know that whatever decision was made, that it wasn't something that just three people set up here and decided that we're going to do this without really getting the pulse of what the community is all about. But I will take to heart exactly what you're saying. I think we will certainly give that a great deal of consideration, at least I will personally, as we move forward. And I'm hoping that this kind of discussion will also be generated amongst the city council as well.
I appreciate your points. And your intention is dead on right.
Right.
I think we're all on the same page. Most of us are on the same page as far as where we want this to go. The city attorney of Ames has not been approached on this subject. And as far as I know, the city, Ames City Council has not been approached about this topic. I think we'd be very open to it, but that hasn't happened yet. And proceed cautiously when regulating the commerce of another municipality, another government. I'm not saying it can't be done, but there's certain sort of buckets of things that the county does really well, and there's certain things municipalities do. And this goes back to something Steve said, is that the idea that local involvement, the closer you can you have to the people, you typically have better results. But there are just certain subjects that are going to be handled differently in Nevada than might be handled in Ames. And I'd like to generally be move slowly into restricting commerce in a particular municipality. So that's my only word of caution. Yeah. But thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your comments as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is for Tim and for the audience. Let me read the jurisdictional section, which is the last section of the ordinance. And I quote, "This ordinance is in effect throughout Story County, Iowa, including incorporated areas of a city, except where a municipal ordinance exists regulating nicotine delivery systems and unregulated products containing nicotine defined in this ordinance. And now let me take you for a little brief trip down memory lane, which had to do with the keg ordinance. Now, of course, we weren't undertaking the regulation of alcohol. Alcohol has been around since humankind figured out how to distill grapes. I don't know exactly. But it wasn't that we were regulating the substance. We were regulating the containers that contained the substance because of the problems with keg alcohol. And so, again, as Rick mentioned, perhaps the wording of this should focus on the container rather than nicotine because of the reasons that I stated earlier. And I'll be sure and chime in on that. And, okay. And I think as far as that goes, I think that would be probably less intrusive for Mr. Garten's concerns. And yet I don't know how, again, I don't know what the state is going to do. And of course, if the state does something, just like with our ordinance pertaining to keg alcohol, it simply usurped our ordinance and we repealed it. So, though it's always a possibility. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anybody else this evening? Well, there'll be another meeting like this Thursday, not Tuesday, as was printed in the paper. Thursday evening at the Ames City Council Chambers at 7 o'clock. And Denise, if you've got any students here, have we kept them long enough to earn their extra credit? Okay.
Mr. Chair, would you just at least mention the one phone call that I think that you may have received, I received today from Pat Hensley representing Hy-Vee Stores?
I did receive one phone call. I actually took it on a voicemail from, I think he referred to himself as the government affairs
right.
for Hy-Vee.
Right.
Their concern is that if Story County or any county passes an ordinance and say the county next door passes a different ordinance, Hy-Vee's concern is, how are they going to keep track of all these different ordinances in different counties and make sure that they're in compliance when they're selling these products in their store in Story County as opposed to selling them in Linn County who has this ordinance? So, and he took the time to tell me that they do restrict the sale of these products to minors already in their store, and that his concern was strictly for any confusion that it might cause having a county-by-county ordinance as opposed to having a state ordinance that would cover everybody. So, and that's the only phone call that I've gotten.
But so I think far. That's the same summation I received. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate everybody coming out this evening. Drive carefully on the way home.
Hey, thanks for hearing me.
Hi, Michelle. All right, everybody get their name on this? Everybody get their name on this, right? I got a call.
So that's the municipality itself, how much power they use. And so they probably need more heavily on the county spot. So I think it's just sort of the variable of the state and how that balance of the power.
Well, thank you.